offering at the end of the service, so don't worry. I'm sure you're anxious about that. This is one of those Sundays where I'm sneaking up on you and doing a message on stewardship, on giving. So I've told the security team to guard the doors. You get a lot of responses when you preach on tithing and giving to the Lord, and you know, the people who do that already come up and say, "Great message, Pastor." The ones that don't just avoid me and, you know, walk away. So, but it's okay. Praise the Lord. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about money. The idea of money and possession shows up in the Bible 2,300 times. There are 1,539 passages that deal with giving to the Lord. 1/6 of the Gospels deal with money. 1/3 of the parables deal with money. Now, if the Bible deals that much with money, I think occasionally we ought to deal with it, don't you think? Also, we've been talking about living a surrendered life, a fully surrendered life to God, completely, absolutely surrendered to God. Well, if we do live that kind of life, it has to include our money. We can't let that be the holdout part of our life that's not surrendered to the Lord. So one disclaimer before I get into this message. This is not a message because we have a giving crisis in our church. Giving is better than we've ever had it ever in the history of our church. So it's not, pastor's not preaching this message because we need more money. We really don't need the more money. It's about you being obedient to God and being blessed by God and what God says. We're going to look at a lot of scriptures, but we're going to start with Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. So go to Matthew and back up one book, and you're right there at Malachi. Stand for a moment as we read this one important verse, what I call is God's guarantee. God says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it." Lord, thank you for your word. And we pray as we go through your word that you'll speak to our hearts today, Lord. Help us to be open to hear the message that you have for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So we're going to talk a little bit about how God speaks about giving in the Old Testament first. You know, the whole idea of tithing, which is giving 10% of your income to the Lord, shows up in the Old Testament. The first book of the Bible, Genesis 14, Abraham goes up north to rescue his nephew Lot and his family who've been captured by a bunch of kings that hauled them away. Abraham took some of his servants and went up there and rescued Lot, a miraculous rescue. And he's so thankful that on his way back, he meets a guy named Melchizedek, who is a priest, and he gives Melchizedek 10%, a tithe, because he's thankful for what God has done for him. So tithing is an act of gratitude. When we give and tithe 10% of what God has blessed us with, we're doing it to be thankful to God. God has given so much to us, we give him back some of what he's blessed us with. Tithing is also an act of worship. It's an act of worship. In Genesis 28, we hear the story of Jacob who runs away from his family because he has deceived his brother Esau and has stolen the birthright. And Esau's mad, so Jacob hikes it out of there and taking off. On his way, he has a time of worship where he meets with God. In that time of worship, he says this to God. He says, "If God will be with me on my journey and give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I may return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God." And he says, "I will give you a tenth." Jacob promises God a tithe, 10% of what he has. Proverbs 3:9 says, "Honor the Lord with your wealth." So when you put a check in the offering, like we're going to do a little bit later when we take our offering, or maybe cash, or maybe you're an online giver, we have that available in our church. You can go online and give online, which is an increasing way that a lot of people give. It's an act of worship. It's an act of worship. Just like when you're singing songs of worship is worship, giving is an act of worshiping. You're honoring the Lord with what he's given you. Tithing is also an act of faith. God says in the word that the tithe belongs to him. In fact, in Malachi, if you read back one verse from what I read this morning, he accuses the people of Israel from robbing from him because they're not paying their tithe. The 10% belongs to God. "You're robbing from me," God says. And it's an act of faith. Jesus said, no one will serve two masters. Either he'll hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And maybe this is the exact reason that the Bible talks so much about money, is it is probably the number one threat to loyalty to God. It can become our God, money can become. It can be the all-consuming thing of our life. We're just about gaining money and accumulating wealth and possessions, and it can actually take the place of God in our lives. It's a threat sometimes to our loyalty to God. So when we choose to tithe, give to God what is his, it's an act of faith. We believe that God is able to make the 90% go farther than the 100%. And I've talked to many, many people who will testify to that fact. You're going to hear a testimony in just a few minutes of a person that will say you that very thing. God can make the 90% go farther if you're obedient to him than the 100% when you're in charge yourself. Dr. Elmer Towns tells a story on stewardship called Who Owns Your French Fries? And it's a story of a father that goes to a restaurant and buys his son an order of French fries. And he does what any father does. He reaches over to get one. And the son slaps his father's hand and says, don't touch my French fries. And the father said, well, you know, I kind of feel bad about that. My son's being selfish. I bought those French fries for him. They're really my French fries. You have the whole bag. I just want one. And he goes on to say how that when we don't tithe, God has given us all this money, and when we don't tithe, we're slapping God's hand and saying, don't you touch my money. Don't touch my money. I can remember when Joni and I were first married, I was so excited because we got married and I got a job and we had income coming in. I never had a full-time job before in my life after college, but it was so exciting to have money. And it wasn't very many months into our marriage when she said, you know what? We should be tithing on this. And I went, oh, yeah, you're right. I was so excited and carried away with having a paycheck that I forgot that the first 10% belongs to God. She was ahead of me on that. And I agreed with her, and we started tithing. And ever since then, we've tithed. And it's a non-negotiable thing that we do in our lives. It's an act of faith, trusting in God. Tithing is an act of obedience. The command is very clear throughout the Bible. The tithe belongs to God. We're supposed to honor the Lord with our tithe. In Leviticus, a tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. Some will say, Pastor, we're not under the Old Testament law. We're under grace. That doesn't apply. Tithing doesn't apply anymore. I've heard that, and I would just say I believe it does still apply. Do we ignore the Ten Commandments because we're in the Old Testament? Do they not still apply? Jesus said he didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Jesus talked about tithing in the scripture. He talked about how that when you tithe, this is how you do it. So it's not just an Old Testament thing, it's an act of obedience. Do you know that your bank statement is a theological document? It really is. It says something about your faith. It's a theological document. It says what you believe. Do you trust God enough to give the tithe to him? It reveals if you're thankful to God, if you're worshiping God. It reveals a lot to us. Tithing is God's plan to finance his work on earth. God told the people through Malachi, bring the tithe into the storehouse. The temples had a storehouse where they would store the stuff and use it to support the priest and to take care of the temple. We don't have a temple and we don't have priests, but we have a building that we use, and we have pastors and other people that work for the church. The tithe comes in to pay the light bill and pay for the church and pay the salaries, and so that we can do ministry in our church. It is God's plan to finance his work. It's amazing to see how much money comes in, and not one penny of it was coerced by anybody. We don't show up on your door and knock and say, hey, you're a little behind. Let's catch up. It's all given voluntarily. That's what's amazing about it. It's God's plan, and people give it voluntarily. A national survey said that of all Christians surveyed, about 10 to 25% tithe. I think we're a little better than that. I went through our giving statement, and, of course, I don't know what anybody makes, but I know if you give $200 in a year, that's not a tithe. I can figure that much out. But, but what I can tell, we're probably close to 40% of our people tithe. Praise the Lord for that. That means 60% don't. But that's the way it goes. It's amazing to see what God is between you and the Lord to figure all this out. Tithing is an eternal investment. You know, we hear about a lot of investments this week. In fact, the stock market took a dip this week, and we heard all about it on the news. And nothing wrong with investing in the stock market. Just make sure you understand it's not an eternal investment. You're going to leave it all behind, okay? All of it. But when you give to the Lord, it's an eternal investment. Jesus said, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. When you give to the Lord, you're giving an eternal investment. I don't know why I did this, but a while back I was thinking, and I don't know where it came from, but I began to kind of calculate in my mind how much I'd given to the church over the years, because pastors kind of have to be an example, you know what I mean? And so we tithe and we give to the Unleashed program, we give to Faith Promise for missions, we give to all those things, special offerings. And so I was looking back and I went, wow, that's a lot of money. And a lot of you could say the same thing when you look back. It's a lot of money that you've given. Just for a moment, and I apologize, I shouldn't have thought this, I thought, what could I have done with that? And then I realized again, it's an eternal investment. It's an eternal investment in the kingdom of God. Tithing brings great blessing from God. God promises in this promise in Malachi, says, if you'll bring the tithe into the storehouse, he says, test me. Here's the thing, test me. God, a lot of times in scripture says, don't test me. Here he says, test me. He says, bring it in and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven, pour out so much blessing that you'll not have enough room for it. When we choose not to tithe, which God says is stealing from him, by the way, we're robbing ourselves of God's blessing. The fact is, God can make it without your money, but can you make it without his blessing? God will bless you when you're obedient to him. Doesn't mean you're going to be super wealthy, but you're going to be blessed if you're obedient to him. Before I go on, I'm going to talk a little bit about the New Testament, and we're going to have a testimony in just a minute, but I want to draw your attention to a little paper that's in your bulletin called God's Guarantee. I've done this several times in our church through the years, and it's a little thing that might help, and it's a challenge for you. If you don't tithe, if you don't give 10% of your income to the Lord, it's a challenge for you to try, and what it says is you'll agree to tithe for 90 days. God says, test me. Let's test him. And he'll bless. And the guarantee is this. If you, at the end of 90 days, feel like it was a mistake or it created a financial crisis, you did not receive a blessing, your money will be promptly returned. And I've signed it. They're guaranteeing we'll give your money back. No questions asked. I won't quiz you. I won't counsel you. Anything. I'll give it back. Every penny that you give over those 90 days. If you say that you weren't blessed. Now, I've done this several times with people over the years. I've never had anybody ask for their money back. I've had a lot of people say, it worked, Pastor. It worked. God blessed me. I can't believe what happened during this time. God blessed in so many ways. I had a lady come up after first service and said, I took the challenge today, Pastor. I took the challenge. I'm going to do it. And she was excited to see what God was going to do. There's great blessing when we take this challenge. So at the end of the service, I'm going to ask you to turn these in. If you want to do this, I know a lot of people won't do it, but if you want to do it, you just sign your name. I will start giving 10%, or maybe you already give 10%. You can mark that box off. Right now, I'm going to ask Fernando Gonzalez to come up. Fernando's one of our good leaders in our church, and he's going to share with us a little testimony, and because he shared it with me, he shouldn't have shared it with me, because now I'm going to ask you to share it with everybody. But share with us, Fernando.
Good morning, guys. I need a favor real quick. If this mic starts dropping a little bit, can any of you guys tell me to raise the mic? Because this is not what I do. So if you guys see it, please help me with that, okay? I will. I just thought, you know, it was funny because, you know, how many people believe God is funny? I think God is really funny because if you would have asked my wife and I 3 years ago, you know, Fernando's going to be up here talking to the congregation about tithing. I think we would have been laughing. We would. It's a joke because you know the truth is it's a kind of an embarrassment. But I accepted Jesus when I was 15 years old. So for about 30 years, I never tithe. I had every excuse not to tithe. I came up and, you know, like the pastor was saying, it's a Mosaic law. It's for the Jews. He wants a cheerful giver. Every excuse that was there, I had it. I had it in my head. You know, if you come up with one, I had 10 responses to not tithe. So I know in my men's Bible study, you know, we've been doing it for the last 6 weeks, I brought this up to my guys. I started talking, and Pastor Doug is one of my that takes the Bible study. So when I started bringing it up, I kind of had a feeling that he was going to ask me to talk. I knew this was going to happen. But I think God wants me to do this because after the first service, I had a lot of people respond. And that was so cool to hear that I wasn't the only one struggling with this. So after the pastor Doug asked me, you know, I was thinking, you know, I should because it's my story. I got to do it. So I wrote some notes. And it's funny because I wrote, these are my notes. I'll show you guys real quick. It says, pastor asked, 3 years ago, life. That was it. So 3 years ago, we weren't where we were supposed to be. God wants us to be not okay. He wants us to be great. As a married couple, he wants us to be awesome. He wants us to be great. But my wife and I, 3 years ago, we weren't there. I mean, we had a marriage thing the other night, and we were talking about, you know, valleys and mountaintops. And I think 3 years ago, we were probably more in valleys than we were mountaintops based on our finances. And that was the biggest issue, finances. My wife, she tithed all the time. I didn't. And there was friction there. And I would, and when I thought back, when I was talking to my wife, I thought back, I said, you know how many times I probably told my wife, you know, if you give that, we're not going to have money for this or for that. But God always gave us for this and for that. And I was the one that was blocking that blessing. So 3 years ago, I started realizing, you know what? I had, a midlife crisis. My oldest son got married. My youngest son graduated. I looked at the man in the mirror, and I said, you know what? This is what God wants for you. You got to trust God. And I said, and I started talking to God and praying, and I said, I trust you, God. I trust you in my finances. I trust you in my marriage. I trust you in my job. I trust you in my life. I trust you in everything I do. Even when I eat, I trust you in that. I trust you in all this stuff. God's like telling me back, it was, well, have you read Malachi? And I said, yes, I've been a Christian for 30 years, God. I trust you, Lord. And he said, no. Did you read it? And I said, yes. Why would you tell me that? I've read it. I will trust you in all that I do. And after a couple times, I got hit in the head, and it said, read it. When I read it, it really doesn't say, trust me. It says, test me. And I said, you're right. It's a test. What is a test? What's the difference between a test and a trust? And I was thinking back, and I was telling my wife, you know, honestly, I think trusting, like when David and Goliath, trusting is when David was talking to his brothers and said, hey, I'm going to go fight this guy. Testing is when he stood in front of Goliath, and that was the test. Or when Peter was in the boat, he trusted God in the boat. That was his trust. But he tested God when he stepped out and put his foot in the water. So that is where I was at. I was like, am I going to trust God? Because I've been telling God, I trust you, Lord, I trust you. But am I going to put it to his word? I got to believe all his word. He says, test me. And we did that. 2.5, 3 years ago, I started tithing. And it was difficult. And I remember this challenge that Pastor Doug had given me about 7 years ago. And I read it, and I told Pastor Doug, you know, I really don't want to be the first guy to ask for a refund. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be that dude. Please help me with this. So, you know, and I stood here, and I was telling to the guys at my Sunday school, and I said, you know, I can stand here and talk to you guys about, you know, surprise checks that came into the mail, because they have, and surprise bonuses that were bigger than we expected, that they have, and medical bills that were forgiven that we never even asked for. And they have. But the truth is, God gives you so much more than that. And for me, the biggest thing that God has given me in the last 2.5, 3 years has been peace. You know, when you are thinking so much about how are you going to pay bills or how you're going to make ends meet, you become very, you know, you come with schemes and you figure this stuff out. You know, when the bills show up, what to pay, how to do this and how to do that. God didn't want me to spend my time on that. And I talked to my wife. I was like, there's a lot of people that pay a lot of money to a lot of medicine and a lot of psychiatrists to find that ability to go to sleep at night. And I tell you right now, I have not, in the last 3 years, I have slept very well. I have no issues with that. And before that, for the first 30 years, I've had trying to figure this stuff out. And God is telling me, no, test me and you'll see. And I've done it. And I can honestly tell you, the only regret that I ever had, and I told Pastor Greg, the only regret I have is that I didn't take this challenge 7 years ago, because the last 3 years have been wonderful. And like I said, God is funny, and he's funny, and I showed you my notes, and I said, Pastor Doug asked, 3 years ago, life, I had Malachi, and I had a finish. I go, now I'm going to finish with this. I had my little finish here, and I was like, oh, I got the finish. Thank you, God, I got the finish, because that's the hardest part when you're talking to finish. So I'm finishing, and I'm driving up here in the car, and I park, and my wife tells me something in the car, and I'm like, well, no, that's the finish now. She just gave me the finish line. So let me give you my finish, and I'll give you my wife's finish. I wrote down, and my God will meet all your needs according to his riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. And I was like this at the table. I was like, yes. I drive up, and my wife tells me like this. Fernando, you know what your problem is? Which is kind of funny, because you know how wives know what your problems are? I said, yes, what is my problem? And she said, your problem is that you believe money can solve your problems, but God solves your problems of money. And I said, wow, that's like a fortune cookie. I wrote that down. I said, well, God, I had my notes, and you just wiped my notes out, because I didn't have to use that closing. Hey, thanks a lot, guys. Like I said, I took this test or this challenge, and believe me, I don't regret it one bit. I'm able to sleep. I don't have to worry about any of this stuff. And it helps the marriage. I'll tell you that much right now.
Thanks, Fernando. Thanks for being open and sharing with us about that. That's not easy, but thank you for sharing. Let's go real quickly and look a little bit at the New Testament. Followers of Christ should give to God. We know that. They should give to God. It says in 2 Corinthians 8:7, but just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness and love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. There's no categories of this Christian should give and this Christian should not. We all should give. It's for all of us. Followers of Christ should give cheerfully. We get that from the scripture. Each man should give what he decided to give in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, but for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, he'll accept from a grouch, but it really touches his heart when you're cheerful about it, when you want to give and you love giving to the Lord. Followers of Christ should also give regularly. Should give regularly. On the first day of the week, each of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up so when I come, no collections will have to be made. I got in on a little interesting, I could call it a debate after the first service between a husband and wife. And the wife was going, how come you didn't tell me this? She was a new Christian, and the husband had been around the church for many years. And she said, I didn't know we were supposed to give regularly. Why didn't you tell me this? It was really quite hilarious to watch this scripture, this talk going on. They'll have some ongoing discussions. But we're supposed to give regularly to the Lord. Joni and I, when we pay our bills, we get paid every 2 weeks. And we have a little budget made out on an Excel file with everything that goes out. And giving to the church, to the Lord, is the very first thing that we pay. It's just part of what we do. It's subtracted first. We don't look at all our bills and say, can we afford to tithe or not? If you just tithe, and then you deal with everything else. You give regularly. You also give according to your income. 10% makes sense. If you make $40,000 a year, you give $4,000. If you make $100,000 a year, you give $10,000. You're not responsible for what you don't have, for what you do have. You give according to what you have. It makes sense. I love the story that Peter Marshall tells when a guy came to him and said, Peter Marshall was the former chaplain of the U.S. Senate. He said, I'm having trouble with this tithing thing. He said, when I made $20,000 a year, it was easy to tithe $2,000. But now that I make $500,000 a year, I just can't afford to give $50,000. So Peter Marshall said, well, we need to pray about this. You do have a problem. And Peter Marshall bowed his head and prayed for the man. He said, Lord, this man has a problem. I pray you'll help him. Please reduce his salary back to the place where he can afford to tithe. We give according to our income. Followers of Christ should give willingly, should give willingly. Willingness with a proper motive, a proper spirit. The scripture says, for if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable to what he has, not to what he does not have. Jesus was in the temple one day with his disciples, watching people to bring in gifts. And a woman brought in two small little copper coins called a widow's mite. I have a widow's mite here that I picked up in Israel when I was there. It's hard to see from where you're at, but that's an original widow's mite from the time of Jesus. It was just a very small copper coin, not worth hardly anything. Jesus told the disciples, this woman has put more in than anybody. They gave out of their wealth, but she gave out of everything she had. She gave willingly, with a willing spirit. Followers of Christ should also give generously. Should give generously. Command those who are not rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and be generous and willing to share. I'm so thankful that we have many people in our church who are generous. some of you know this, some of you don't, but there's a lot of people who give way more than 10%. Way more than 10%. Really generous people. A few weeks ago, we had a lady here named Flora from Africa who's building a school for children, girls who had been abused in Africa. And you guys, we didn't even announce a week ahead of time we were going to take the offering, but we took an offering just on the spot after she spoke, and you guys gave over $13,000 just in a quick offering. I'm thankful for the generous, generous people. And you guys don't give to get your name on a wall. We don't publish the top 10 givers of 2018 and put it on the wall. You give anonymously to the Lord, and it's good to be generous. May their generosity help others to be generous as well. Followers of Christ can also expect God's provision. Fernando quoted this, "My God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus," from Philippians. He will meet your needs. He promises to take care of us. Everything belongs to him anyway. He just gives us some of his stuff while we're here on this earth to meet our needs while we're here. When we die, we leave all of the stuff behind. It's his, not ours. But he'll meet our needs. And lastly, followers of Christ can expect God's blessing. You heard about it in Malachi. God said, test me. See if I don't just open the door, heaven's gates, and bless you. In Luke, we see basically the same thing. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So we come to that time of the service where we're going to take the offering, which is an act of worship. We're also going to receive those little pieces of paper if you'd like to sign and take this challenge. And it is an act of faith. I talked to a young man after the service, first service, and he was struggling. I mean, I appreciated his honesty to come struggle. He just couldn't see it. I mean, he just couldn't see it that he could do this, what we're asking. And I kind of picture it being jumping off a cliff, if you will. Do we know God's going to catch us? Is God going to keep his word? Yes, he's going to keep his word. But you don't know it until you jump off the cliff. You have to do it by faith, and that's what I was telling him. You got to trust God. You're not going to know right now. You know when you do it by faith that God is faithful. And that's what you heard from Fernando. And I've heard many other testimonies like that. You can expect God's blessing if you're obedient to him. So I'm going to ask if the ushers will come. We're going to pray and receive this offering and receive those cards if you want to do that. Joy Hall is going to come bless us with a number and song during the offering, but let's pray together. Father, thank you for this opportunity to come and worship you. And We've talked about a delicate subject, Lord, because of money. We are way too attached to it. It's one of those things where sometimes it's the last little area that we surrender to you. We hang on to it so long and want to be in control of it. But Lord, help us to be obedient to you. Help us to honor you with all that you've given us. And we know that you're trustworthy, Lord, that we can trust you. So I pray you encourage people to have the faith in you that they need to have. And we'll give you all the honor and glory and praise.